Shalom, everyone. Multiple nations, many Western nations, are calling for Palestinian statehood in September in opposition to Israel and the United States. Massive aid is now being delivered into the Palestinian people in Gaza. And the Israel security meeting Netanyahu is hosting is approving a new Gaza military operation. Lebanon is now seeking to disarm Hezbollah in Lebanon. Those stories and more. And Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, August the 8th of the year 2025. Here's the news for this week. It began first with France calling for it and then urging the United Kingdom to join them. Australia and Canada have also joined with them, and there's a series of other nations that are now joining in a call for a Palestinian state to be declared and recognized come this September. France initially started off with the idea because they didn't like the way the humanitarian aid was making it into Gaza. As you remember, in the last couple of weeks, the whole world has been up in arms about starvation going on, about genocide going on, all blaming Israel for all of it. And they're saying to get back at Israel, we'll declare a Palestinian state in opposition to Israel. Other nations have been joining in with the idea, all empathetic to the idea of Gaza aid for the Palestinian people. But the question is, what does it really mean? If all these nations, say in September, decide to declare a Palestinian state, is there in fact a Palestinian state? The answer is no. No, there isn't. It's meaningless. It's not accomplishing anything. It's nothing more than a publicity stunt. It has little at all, any meaning whatsoever to it. In fact, one of the commentators directed at Macron, the leader of France, when he announced this idea, asked Macron if he really thought that monkeys could fly, because the logic of that is about the same logic as declaring a Palestinian state. So that is what is building, and the press is running with that story, trying to say that this is what's really cooking in the world. We talked about the aid convoys coming into Gaza and the fact that the aid was not getting to the people. News stories, international news stories, were talking about starving children, about all the emancipated peoples because they're not getting aid and food and medicine and so forth. All the different nations decided to jump in on this thing, urging Israel to allow more trucks to come in. The U.S. got involved with delivering more stuff. Jordan was delivering stuff. They even brought C-130s over, dropping airdrops of pallets of food into Gaza. Pictures of this going on. There's an organization that got formed here in the last couple of weeks called the GHF, which is the Gaza Humanitarian Federation. There's a group of people who are working very seriously to get aid into where it's needed, set up the distribution centers. They've been now doing it for the last couple of weeks, and for the first time, they can prove that the aid is getting in, not being hijacked by Hamas and others, and so they've actually had some success in distributing it. What has been the problem all along? Well, the UN has not been successful in distributing the food. The food has been there, but the trucks have been hijacked by Hamas and others, and the way Hamas operates is they hijack the items. They get plenty of food for their people, and then they sell it at exorbitant cost to the other Palestinian people. Many of the Palestinians can't afford it, and as a result, you see those that are going without, demanding more food. Those are the ones that couldn't buy it from Hamas. The UN finally admitted that 88% of all of their convoys being delivered into Gaza have been hijacked by Hamas and others. That is 9 out of 10 trucks can't get to where it needs to get. Hamas and others are hijacking them. No wonder they have a major problem in Gaza with aid distribution. And those that are in need are essentially getting nothing. Now, this is not Israel's responsibility. However, all the nations of the world and the press, the way they've talked about it, this whole problem, they lay at the feet of Israel, demanding that they've got to solve the problem. Other people are doing this, not Israel. And they're the ones having a problem. They're the ones that can't pull it off correctly. You would think they would step back and say, Hamas has got to stop hijacking the aid trucks, leave them alone. Nobody says that. Nobody's putting that as a demand on Hamas or the Palestinians. And as a result, we ignore what Hamas is doing, lay all the blame toward Israel. And of course, Israel is not accepting this. And anybody who is paying attention to the real news stories and not the propaganda being put out by the Western media can understand the dynamics of what's going on. Not the least of which is this. If you're going to have a war, you can imagine that there's going to be great disruptions in the land that is in warfare. And so Gaza has great disruptions simply because of the warfare. They're the ones that came over and attacked Israel. Israel is responding to them. So why should they think that everything should work properly under that? And by the way, that's not Israel's responsibility, since they're at war with them, to also feed them. No nation in this world would expect you to feed your enemy while you're trying to defeat them militarily. Again, it's not Israel's responsibility. The UN has only themselves to blame, and the other nations of the world need to hold UN to account for what is going on in Gaza. At the same time at the UN this week, Gideon Saar, who's one of the ambassadors to the UN for Israel, spoke at a UN emergency meeting that was brought about because of the world getting upset about the lack of aid getting in. And he came and made a very powerful speech to the UN and to the security members. He brought in a video of one of the Israeli hostages, Avyatar David, who was one of the hostages taken October 7th. And in this video, he's emancipated, starving to death, being forced by his captors to, quote, dig his own grave in one of the tunnels. And it's obvious that he's starving to death and being mistreated. And so they showed this video that Hamas released. And Hamas released the video to taunt Israel and to David's family. But Gideon Saar took it to the UN and he said, you want to talk about people starving in Gaza? Here's an Israeli who was taken as hostage and he's being starved to death intentionally by Hamas. And he basically called upon all of the nations of the world, especially those that are calling for Palestinian statehood. As a result of you guys deciding to do that, and as a result of you saying that, you told Hamas that they're winning. You told Hamas they don't have to negotiate for the release of the hostages. They don't have to disarm. They don't have to stop the war. They're winning. They're going to get a Palestinian state. Israel is going to lose. Hamas is going to win. And by the way, the statement on the part of the nations calling for a Palestinian state means Israel lose, Hamas wins. And as a result of these nations doing this, that's why Hamas shut down all negotiations for any further hostages to be released. They believe they're winning, and all they have to do is hang on and force all the other nations to force Israel into quitting. Well, Israel is not going to quit. Israel is going to end Hamas, and they're going to get their hostages and the Israelis back from them. And so as a result of what we now have, which is a stalemate, it's a dead end for all negotiations, Israel is now faced with the reality of they must completely go in and eliminate Hamas, interfere more, even more with the Palestinians to get their hostages and their people back. Gideon Saar went on to explain, this is a moral failure on the part of all the nations of the world not to demand for Hamas to surrender. It's like they cannot figure out who the good guys and the bad guys are, and the whole world is guilty of this. Gideon Saar's speech was a very powerful speech to the UN. Quite honestly, the other nations were put back on their heels and rather quiet after his speech. The IDF is now faced with having to take over Gaza. And right now, the IDF controls about 75% of Gaza. The 25% that remains has the last of the Hamas operatives. That's where the hostages are also being held. Other dead Israelis are also in that area. And there's about 2 million Palestinian civilians in that 25%. So for the IDF to go into that area and to be able to get the hostages out and eliminate Hamas, this is a major, major undertaking for the IDF and for the government of Israel. As a result, Netanyahu has called for a security cabinet meeting to get authorization for the IDF to go in and do this. And the IDF chief is very hesitant about doing this. He knows what the cost is going to be for this. This means, if they go in, that the IDF is going to suffer more casualties. This means there will be more civilian casualties. And of course, with that will come a multitude of accusations of war crimes against Israel because civilians are going to get hurt. Hostages probably will be killed. And by the way, in the past, when Hamas thought they were about to be overrun by the IDF in previous times, they killed as many as 6 hostages already. They fear that Hamas will kill the remaining hostages. And then the whole process of clearing out innocent civilians, at the same time aid deliveries are being made, this is almost an impossible situation for the IDF. The IDF has estimated this could take 4 to 5 months to make this happen. Very difficult to do, and that's the reason why the Netanyahu has called for the security cabinet to have a full agreement meeting from the security cabinet to give the orders to the IDF to do this, to give them the full green light to go forward for this kind of operation. So what we're talking about is a full takeover of Gaza. We're not talking about what we've been doing in the past. We're talking about the IDF would own Gaza as a result. Israel would own Gaza as a result. There is going to be no more Palestinian Gaza territory. It will all belong to Israel as a result of this operation. And that's the reason why you've heard the possibility of annexation of Gaza coming into play, because in the end, Israel will own the whole place. This last week, just not to forget, there is other conflicts with Hezbollah and the Houthis in Yemen. In Hezbollah up in Lebanon, Israel did some airstrikes up there. They took out some key Hezbollah leaders, blew up some ammo dumps, and destroyed some of the last of the Hezbollah armaments. And the Lebanese government is calling for Hezbollah to completely disarm. If you want to stay in the country, you can stay, but not armed, or otherwise leave. Now, Hezbollah is refusing to disarm. They're telling the Lebanese government it's a mistake for them to do that. But the Lebanese government is very clear they don't want a conflict with Israel anymore. They want Hezbollah to be disarmed. Down in Yemen and with the Houthis, Israel is still shooting down an occasional rocket that comes flying up or a drone that comes flying up. And they're still carrying out raids on Yemeni targets down there that has the Houthi rebels in their various areas. Not to the extent that we've had in the past, but it's still a smoldering kind of fire that's going on down there. Still happening. Pro-Palestinian groups all around the world are raising protests in multiple nations, Australia, Greece, Europe. In the case of Greece, there's some cruise ships that couldn't even dock at the ports because pro-Palestinian groups came out in protest against the ship because it had some Jewish tourists on the ship, and they had to dock in Cyprus to be able to get people off. And Greece is very upset about that. In Australia, protest groups are rising up there as well, along with the support of the government. And essentially, these pro-Palestinian groups, let me go ahead and break the code for you. They're pro-Hamas, anti-Israel groups. They're not pro-Palestinian. they're pro-Hamas and anti-Israel groups. If you listen to the rhetoric of everything they say, that's what it's about. This last week, we had a particular date on the Jewish calendar that those that observe the Jewish calendar pay attention to. It's called Tisha B'Av, or the ninth of Av, the ninth day of the month of Av. This is an anniversary date of in history for Israel, and two times on that date, first with the Babylonians, then with the Romans, this is when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. Tisha B'Av is a date where they fast for the whole day, remembering the destruction of the two previous temples there in Israel. In Israel, it's a fast day, and this last week, Tisha B'Av came, and this time, Ben-Gvir, a member of the Knesset, a member of the Netanyahu government, went up on the Temple Mount with several hundred Jews. They went up and prayed, danced, and sang up on the Temple Mount, and he led the group in prayer out loud, doing the afternoon prayers there on the Temple Mount. Now, interestingly enough, World War III did not start, because we've always been told that if the Jews ever go up and pray on the Temple Mount, that will be a major disruption. And as you recall, Netanyahu has held to what is called the status quo. It's for security reasons. Jews are not permitted to go on the Temple Mount. Ben-Gvir went up, despite what the status quo is, and proved that Jews could go up on the Temple Mount and pray. It wouldn't cause World War III. It wouldn't cause a great security breach whatsoever. This is, in Israel, this is ground-shaking, an event. And it speaks to the things that we've been hearing lately in Israel about the idea of annexing Judea and Samaria, the West Bank areas, bringing them under sovereign Israeli control. Here's Ben-Gvir going up and praying on the Temple Mount, which would exercise Israel's ability to have sovereignty over the Temple Mount. These are very serious issues that have been discussed for decades in Israel, part of the whole conflict that we've had between the Palestinians and the Jews. Right now, Gaza is overshadowing all of that, so all of this activity was going on, I must tell you, to the shock of a lot of people that he was able to pull it off. Not too long ago, I held an interview with Eddie Chumney. The program is called Jacob versus Esau, The Final Battle Has Begun. That program is going to air Sunday, August 24th at about 10 a.m. here on LionelLamb.tv. You're going to want to see this program because Eddie and I go through and discuss the current situation with what's going on in Israel, the conflict between the Palestinians and Israel, and we've likened it unto the conflict between Jacob and Esau. In fact, prophetically, that's really what is being played out here. Here's a short clip of Eddie sharing this Jacob and Esau conflict, how it fits into the scenario of what's going on today in Israel.
We got the spirit of Esau and the opposition against it that's very strong, and those two things are happening. So Yeshua told a parable about the wheat and the tares, that they're going to grow up, but they're going to separate at the end of days. Well, if you take the word tare back to the Hebrew, it's a cognate of Esau. So, and the wheat is Jacob. So you're not going to really distinguish Jacob and Esau as they're growing up together. But at the end, they're going to separate. And since Esau is also associated with the goat, Yeshua told about the judgment between the sheep and the goats. The sheep is Jacob. The sheep is Israel. The goat is Esau. So what he's saying is, as we get to the end of the ages, there's going to be a real separation that is seen and distinguishable in the world from those that see the world through Jacob's eyes and those that see the world through Esau's eyes. And we are very clearly in that world, both in the United States, both in the West, and also in Israel. And so we are living in the days where prophecy's coming alive. And we really need to be watchmen on the walls and watch for and be aware of the prophecies and watch for the fulfillment of the prophecy.
Again, I want to encourage you to check out that interview. It'll be broadcast again Sunday, August 24th. on Lionelamb.tv. It's entitled Jacob versus Esau, The Final Battle Has Begun. If you have any interest in what is the implications of the annexation of the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, what's happening in the biblical timeline as far as the prophecies are bringing us to the end of the age, and how does all the conflict of the pro-Palestinian protests against Israel, the call for Palestinian state, how does that all mix into the end time scenario? This program addresses all of that, and you don't want to miss that program. Myself and Eddie, we're discussing all of those key points for you. We're asking you to continue to pray for Israel, pray for all that's going on in the world, pray for the hostages, pray for what the IDF is having to face in dealing with Gaza. And we thank you for viewing this program. Remember to like and subscribe our YouTube channel if you're on there. But for more content and no commercial interruptions, go to and subscribe to lionandlamb.tv. The first level is free. You can see the broadcast, the weekly activities with no commercial interruptions. Lionelamb.tv, the first level is a free subscription. But if you'd like to get all of our other programs and see all the other teachings that we have, you can sign up for a subscription for that. Our weekly programs are also available on your favorite podcast platform. Check us out on those. We also offer a written article of teaching. Comes both in the mailbox as well as in a digital form. You can sign up for that very easily contacting Lionel Lamb at the website. Our weekly programs are on all the social media programs. Check us out there. And also, I really want to encourage all of you this fall, in October, Lionel Lamb Ministries will be hosting a Feast of Tabernacles event here in Oklahoma. We bring brethren in from all over the country. They come in and camp with us. And we bring in speakers and musicians, and we have a wonderful time of fellowship together, observing the Feast of Tabernacles, one of the biblical feasts the Lord has called us to keep, and its prophetic implications to the days that we're in. I would remind you that 2 years ago, it was at the Feast of Tabernacles, the October 7th event happened, and I'm certain that we'll be giving you an update on the prophetic significance of what's happening in the world today at that Feast of Tabernacles again. That's how those ancient events speak to our future and what is going on in the world today. Register now. Go on to Lionel Lamb to tabernaclesevent.com. You can register online or call the office for a hard copy registration. We'll get you signed up so you can come join and fellowship with the rest of us. In the meantime, Shabbat Shalom to all of you.